Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Brennan's View condos are presented by Irish Realty. Only a few luxury units remain. Tailgate on the Brennan's View's rooftop deck, just steps from Eddy Street Commons and the Notre Dame campus. Take advantage of a $2,500 buyer's upgrade package through the end of November. Check out brennansview.com or irishrealty.net.
What do you say, Mike? You want to leave our ladies and go live at Brennan's View together?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to leave our wives or our ladies and we can go live at Eddy Street Commons? And
oh, perhaps. I must have missed something. But anyways, yeah.
Sorry, there's an ad read going. This is great television. I don't know if you saw that, Mike, but
I didn't see any of that.
All right. Well, never mind then. Terrible joke. I'm going to cut that back post edit. All right, Mike. Mike Goolsbee Show here. I'm Mike Singer. He's Mike Goolsbee. We're talking Notre Dame football coming off the Irish's 38-27 setback against the USC Trojans. Appreciate everyone joining us live. We're going to do this show a little bit different this week. So if you have super chats, questions, all that, we'll keep an eye on it. Joey says ready to chit-chat Notre Dame football. Jonathan says looking forward to the show. But we are going to hang out and Goolsbee and I are going to talk some Notre Dame football, and we're going to take your questions and super chats near the end of the show. So if you super chat, I'll see it. We'll get to it, I promise. But yeah, we're going to take some time and try to have this be a little bit of a free flowing conversation before we get into super chats. So
A little bit more orderly, buddy. You know?
Oh yeah, because I'm not an orderly person, so we need it. Mr. Goolsbee, initial thoughts on the loss for Notre Dame a day after and had some time to reflect.
Yeah. This was the first game this season that I was genuinely looking forward to from a fan perspective. I think up to this point, speaking for myself, I'd looking at this season, looking at games from a critical eye. And I even mentioned that about the Clemson game. I'm sitting there in the stands, arms folded, kind of almost looking at it through a coach's lens. I think with the holiday, it was a long holiday for us. A lot of food, a lot of booze, a lot of beers, dude. A lot of family time. It was a great weekend, and this is just like the crescendo to the weekend. And it was a disappointing loss. Watching the game, Michael, it felt worse than it actually was. Yeah, we've had games where we lost and the score maybe wasn't reflective of how well we played, but this felt like we played worse than the score reflected. I mean, we were in the game. The majority of, throughout, you're a 7-10 point, you're down 7-10 points throughout. So, but that was the disappointing piece. And I can't, I was thinking about it, watching the game. And I was thinking about it today, driving home. I don't know what it is, Mike, about playing in the Coliseum against USC on that fast track that makes us look so slow. And I felt that as a player. It almost feels like, I don't know if it's the way the stadium set up. I don't know if it's the energy in the stadium. But it, like when you're playing there, Mike, it almost feels like the field is 65 yards wide and 120 yards long. It almost feels like the field is bigger. I don't believe that we're a slower team than USC is across the board. I truly don't. I mean, you've seen us play against Ohio State. You've seen us play against Clemson. I think we can start to really put that narrative to bed. But in this particular game, we looked slower I think that's reflected most when you look at our defense against their offense. And I think a lot of that was due to confusion and Lincoln Riley and his staff kind of getting the best of us from a schematic standpoint this weekend. I think that's really what I would contribute or attribute our slowness. Kind of looks like we're stuck in mud. That's what I think I'd contribute that to, is just this scheme. A lot of misdirection early on. They kind of took advantage of our sort of blue collar aggressiveness. And Caleb Williams is is a hell of a player. I played against a couple kids, quarterbacks that are somewhat cut from that, out of that mold, but he's a remarkable player. And forgive me, but I think on our last show, I said, man, Notre Dame does love to just hand SC players, SC quarterbacks, the Heisman, and F and A, man, we might have done it again.
It's great. I'm off to a great start, Mike.
Dude, hot start for you, buddy. Hot start.
Tim Hyde was saying all week, you know, that was his key to the game. Like, do not let Caleb Williams win the Heisman. And surely enough, probably did. Probably did with that performance last night, unless he just goes out and lays an egg in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, credit to Tim. I think Tim knew better than most of us what we were up against, for sure, at that quarterback position.
I'm glass half full after this one. You seen glass half negative or glass half empty, Mike, after the USC game? Is that right?
No. I think that it felt, watching the game, it felt worse than it was. I felt like we were reeling. And I'm looking at this through a defensive lens. I think Drew Pine played his ass off, Mike, and I know we're going to get into that. Two critical mistakes, but I'm very proud of Drew. I think a lot of kids step up. Deion Colsey played well. I had kind of written him off.
Yeah.
And I'll cop to that. So I'm really happy to see him thriving. But yeah, I think defensively it looked worse than it was. What's the turning point of the game? To me, the turning point defensively was, maybe even as a team approach, was after their first series. They went down and scored so quickly, so easily, so smoothly. I felt like defensively we were on our heels throughout the remainder of the game. I really did. I felt like we were just throwing haymakers the rest of the game, and somehow we managed to keep it a competitive game. But coming out of it, yes, I'm more optimistic than you might think. When you look at the makeup of these two programs, they've got 19 plus transfers, whatever the true number is. And then you look at the way that we've sort of built our program, and Coach Freeman's going to continue to build it. You've got a huge reason for optimism there. I mean, they bought a football team. It's kind of gross.
Pretty much.
It's kind of gross, dude. It's kind of gross. And we hung in there, man. Like another sort of storyline that I try to concoct leading into this game was like a battle of two young coaches, two dynamic recruiters, and Lincoln Riley and Marcus Freeman. And it was kind of an evenly matched game, man. But the one difference was the quarterback position.
All right. So
that was glaring more than ever. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. I want to get to that, Mike, but I'm just trying to make, I'm wanting to follow what you're saying. So you're saying it looked worse than it did, but also is evenly matched. Cause I think Notre Dame crept the bed early, right? 10-0 at the blink of an eye. USC had more points than Notre Dame had plays. I just think if Notre Dame starts a little bit better and then Pine doesn't have those two crucial turnovers. I mean, the pick late, I mean, that was just him trying to make a play. But the fumble to Notre Dame scores there, I think it's 17-14, but instead it ends up being 24-7. That was a huge turning point. But I'm feeling good because I think about Notre Dame's three biggest games on the season, Mike. Ohio State, they played with them. Wow. Clemson beat the rails off of them. USC, I mean, and now it's kind of getting into the quarterback talk of Pine played his heart out. I think we're all pretty much on the same page about Drew Pine right now. love the kid. He's taken all these shots, bounces back, played his heart out, but he's just reached his natural God-given ceiling, whereas Caleb Williams looks like freaking Patrick Mahomes out there. You know? And
I think that's part of it. So to clarify, Mike, I appreciate you following up there. What I'm saying is watching it live, it felt like a worse loss than it actually was. It felt worse. It felt like we were powerless against Caleb Williams. It felt like they were faster. It felt like they were more explosive. But then you watch it back and you're like, okay, we played pretty well. We played pretty well. They made more plays. They, meaning Caleb Williams, made more plays. And we missed a few opportunities. Xavier Watts missed two interceptions. I mean, he got out-jumped by their quarterback on an interception, which, you know, shame on Xavier. That's an ex-wide receiver. It's an Omaha kid. I expect more out of him. He'll do better next time. But, you know, we missed two kind of gimme interceptions. Isaiah Foskey makes a rare effort on the defensive side of the ball, kind of retracing, tracking down a ball, knocks out a ball. Marist watches it fall on the ground, and then he decides to punch the ball out. I mean, that's four opportunities that we missed. And then you couple that with Pine's couple interceptions, and then there's your ball game, man.
Yeah. Folks, like I said earlier, drop super chats. I'll pop them up on the screen. If you have questions specifically, we'll get to them a little bit later in the show. I did think this comment from Michael was interesting. A Kelly coach team loses by 20 plus points last night.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, Notre Dame's had blowouts this season, but they haven't been blown out. You know, like, there's no Michigan 2019s in here, or, you know, Clemson 2018. They've played down to competition, but there just seems to be a lot of good here. You know, I'm optimistic. You know, a lot of the stuff in the offseason, all that banter, you know, finding crap to talk about was, you know, would you take an 8-win, 7-win season under Marcus Freeman if that, you know, take your lumps and you have a higher ceiling to win a national championship than you did with Kelly? You know, it's, again, kind of that offseason fodder, and I kind of seeing it because Notre Dame, I understand Notre Dame fans being pissed about the loss, but that's a college football playoff team. You know, you went toe-to-toe with them. You went toe-to-toe with Ohio State, and then you essentially, you know, knocked Clemson out of the college football playoff. So, I don't know. I'm pretty pumped. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Kelly loses down there at LSU to a 4-7 A&M team. 4-7. And he gets his ass handed to him. So, yes, that sort of cushions the blow of this SC team. We've been doing this, Mike. This is the end of our third year of doing this show. And how many times, brother, have we come together after a loss and be like, dude, we got out-athleted. We got out-speeded. We got out-physical. I think we did get a little bit out-physical today. I don't think we quite matched USC's energy. And that kind of comes back to what I'm talking about. Playing in the Coliseum in these night games, it's a different atmosphere, man. I wouldn't call it intimidating. It's somewhat surreal. I can't put my finger on it. But across the board, we looked okay athlete to athlete. And we're playing two true freshmen at corner, young kids all across the board. I just think that the real glaring weak spot was the quarterback position. And yeah, again, I think Pine played great. And gosh, man, when he screwed up that mesh point and he just kind of was on all fours on the ground, it's like, maybe I am really rooting for Drew Pine, Mike. You know what I'm saying, buddy? That's like, I just felt for the kid because he was like, no, you know, he wanted this so bad. He'd been playing so well up to that point. Yeah, and your heart goes out to him. And he battled, dude. And like you said, yeah, he's maxing out his ability. I think there's nowhere to go, Mike, but up at that position. I mean, let's be honest about it. Yeah, but across the board, even on the edges, you know, I thought we more than held our own. I think defensively our scheme was bad, dude. Really bad.
Yeah.
And with all that taken into consideration, we still played hard.
Just what's the linebackers and that's it. I mean, the contain – obviously wasn't there. And then you're playing without Cam Hart and Tariq Bracey. That's not ideal.
Boy, do we miss those two. Yeah.
Best quarterback in college football.
Yeah, you'd have to let me rant. Give me a couple minutes here to kind of run through this defensive stuff. But Bracey and Hart, I mean, Bracey's been arguably, Mike, the best player on our defense, the most consistent player, probably the shown the highest level of compete since day one kickoff in Columbus. Tariq Bracey's played his ass off. So hopefully he gets some sort of team recognition at the end of the year. I truly believe that he deserves it. I really do. In the same way that I felt like Joe Alt did last year, you know, in terms of just curing the offensive line.
Sure.
Cam Hart's been serviceable, but he does have some experience. He does have some length. But, I mean, you can't underestimate. You're playing against a first-round draft pick at wide receiver and, you know, the first pick overall Heisman Trophy winner quarterback, and you roll out two true freshmen, dude. Yeah, but the scheme on defense, man, I'm sitting there like, you know DJ Khaled is, Singer?
Of course. Wait, no, never heard of him. I don't know anybody.
Well, hopefully our audience has, but I'm just like, what is Al Golden like listen to on his like pregame playlist? It's got to be a lot of DJ Khaled, because I just like with these linebacker blitzes, it's just like another one, you know, another one, you know, it's like, dude, what are we doing?
Another one.
What? Yeah, another one. You know, we the best, right? It's like, no, we're really not. We never get home, Al. So that was a lot of pressure. You're hanging your corners out to dry. There's not a lot of underneath stuff. You know, Mickey got held out, hung out to dry. Mickey competed his ass off, right? Yeah. Jaden Mickey competed his ass off there at field corner. But it was like watching that, it felt very similar to Clarence Lewis versus Oklahoma State in the bowl game last year, where it's like, dude, we gave that kid no help.
Yes.
And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. We did a lot of like we did Hyde and I was just, you know, sent back like we're videotaping our televisions, like sending each other, you know, video shots during the game. It's like, what the F are we doing on defense? And it's like Maris Leofile, man. It's like he's out there playing pin the tail on the donkey, Mike.
Oh, geez.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
But he's out there playing blindfolded, dude. It's like, if you told me that Maris had a blindfold on, I believe you. He's not. I don't know what he's keying. We're playing with 10 guys in the field in that regard. And that was really what killed us, Mike, in that game. Caleb Williams, obviously, it was more demonstrative. It was much more of a wow factor, kind of watching him make these splash runs and just playing backyard football. But the key to our loss in terms of our lack of performance on defense was their running game, and from a traditional sense, with their backup running back.
Yeah,
I mean, they hammered us, dude. And that was really disappointing to see, just us giving up more chunk running plays, more sustained drives. I think I heard Tim say last night we gave up 570-plus yard drives in this game. And, dude, that's just unacceptable. You can't be a championship defense and do that.
Yeah. I did want to bring up the super chat. This is right along the point of what we're talking about from Hank. He says, what can we expect from the defensive staff next year? And one of the folks a little bit more specific on this, Mike, he says, Goolsby, are you impressed with the scheme of Al Golden, Marcus Freeman, Elko, and Lee felt more fundamentally sound? What's the identity of this Notre Dame defense?
I keep coming back to answer the question. I appreciate the super chat. I don't know what to expect. I mean, in terms of the defensive staff, like, are you talking about guys staying or leaving, or what the scheme changes might be? But I keep coming back to, and a lot of this is born out of the Prince Kali, Jalen Sneed, subbing out Maris conversation. Do we have a rover anymore? Like, are we just going to play with two linebackers? And if that's the case, why are we recruiting so many? I mean, it's rare that you see us play with three linebackers throughout the season. Kaiser played a little bit or more than he has been in the USC game. But fundamentally sound, if I'm calling plays, super chat, I want to play a base defense as much as I can. And then we'll make checks out of the base defense. It feels like we're subbing in packages. It's just, yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't really have a good answer. But, yeah, I think under Clark Lee, it's like we had sort of a base structure of our defense, and we did things out of that base defense where it's right. Like here, we roll out a 3-3 stack or a 3-3-5 on any given week. Can somebody, you know, talk to Tyler, talk to somebody that's at these press conferences. Can somebody ask Al Gold, like, dude, like, are we tracking the success rate, the hit rate, the chaos rate, what you want, whatever you want? I mean, we blitz our middle linebackers, Mike, every single play. Like, can somebody, like, dig into that and ask, you know, a layered question? Like, what are we trying to accomplish? I don't know. There's a couple instances in this game where, again, Maris Leifau has truly, Mike, has no idea what he's doing. And I've talked about this 2 weeks ago. Like, I'm done with Maris Leifau. Like, he's a liability. He don't know what he's doing. I've been in a 24-hour-long message board argument with people. They're trying to justify Maris looking into the stands and when it's on the 7-yard line going in the goal line. But the one play where they put a wide receiver number 14 in the backfield, it's their second touchdown. No, rather their first touchdown of the second half. The scheme is completely out-leveraged, right? They run that little Kansas City Chiefs. They kind of leak the tight end for a shovel pass. And then Caleb and 14 just are skipping into the end zone and holding hands. That's a scheme thing. Like, you can look at it pre-snap and be like, we are so out-leveraged. We don't have numbers in the run game. I can jump down Maris's throat and critique him all I want for, like, his lack of instincts. But in terms of being pre-snap, you're misaligned. That's coaching. I don't know what's going on. Right. It's so bad at times, Mike. Like, I can't make sense of it, honestly. And I watch this stuff more intently than I probably ought to. It's maddening.
Now I'm just trying to now put a bow on this to be like, what's next, right? So we've given the analysis, like, or what's the future of this? I have no idea. The Al Golden thing's very interesting. Because my understanding is that he's more of a head coach of the defense than the linebackers coach. For James Laurinaitis is much more hands-on with the linebackers. But, I mean, it's just such a linebacker-minded staff. With Laurinaitis, Golden, Freeman, your defensive line coach was Ohio State's linebackers coach last year. So it's just like, what? It's just so strange that you have these great linebacker minds. Is it?
Yeah, and this is the end product. And what you're seeing is that the goal. Are we teaching? And I'll stay on Maris. Am I teaching? And I got to give credit to Tim. I'd never heard this before, but, like, we're watching Maris, we're watching Kaiser, we're watching JD take on blocks, and he, you know, it's like a bug on a windshield. Are we teaching that? Is that what those kids are taught? I don't know. But the production in the linebacker play this year has been – it's been bad, dude. Yeah. It's been bad. I think JD at times – like, I mean, JD, one of the best games I've seen a linebacker, ND or not, play in a long time was, like, the Clemson game this year, dude. JD was on point. He was killing it. But, yeah – All of these sustained drives and these chunk runs, like, that's on the linebackers. Like, our job is to make tackles. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe Laurinaitis doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, again, he's like similar to Maris. Like, Maris was anointed before he did anything. It's like, oh, Laurinaitis played at Ohio State and he was in the NFL. It's like, yes, so it doesn't mean he can coach. You know, I mean, like,
who knows? He was doing a radio show last year. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not impressed. I mean, I'm just not impressed at what I've seen effort-wise and in production-wise. And what a dream scenario. Like, you know, you can go watch, like, your average watch your average 3- or 4-star high school linebacker film. Like, I'm sure you've seen a lot of it. They get brought on blitzes a lot. So it's like, so when you're watching it, you're trying to evaluate tape with a critical eye. You're like, well, what else can he do? Can he cover, you know, sideline to sideline? Like, these plays look great. Like, he's blowing everything up. But it's almost like we play our linebackers like they're high school studs. It's like, dude, there's more to this game. There's no feel for it.
Yeah.
And some of this crap, dude, Marist in this game is making JD a worse player. Like, if you and I, buddy, are playing linebacker, Mike and Will, and, like, we're flowing over the top or whatever, I can sense without seeing you, I can sense if you're there or not. You know, so there's times where I feel like JD's trying to make up for Maris's lack of instinct. He's trying to like serve two masters there. It's bad. It's definitely got to get cleaned up in the offseason. I do think some of it's personnel. JD is going to be hard to replace just because the dude plays so hard, but yeah. He is small, but he's hard not to like.
Yeah.
But I do think that I'll be shocked, man, if Maris starts in the bowl game. There was one kid that got rotated out during this past USC game, and it was Maris. They put Kali in for a handful of snaps. JD played every snap. Kaiser played every snap. There was no rotation. Furthermore, last thought on the defense, Mike. I thought our D-line played hard. But, boy, were those guys gassed at the end. There's a play where that 81-yard run where Caleb Williams is zigzagging all over the field. And poor Riley Mills, dude, he is just sucking wind. And then he's out there the next play. It's like, man, can we get some substitution? So throughout the course of the season on the defensive side of the ball, we substituted too much early. And then when you need to substitute in a game like this, and this goes back to us being on our heels, Mike, and kind of reeling throughout the course of the game. It was a bit of a mess on defense all the way around this past week. Maris Hopefully it's a learning experience.
Leifau played in 64 snaps and had 4 total tackles, 2 assists, two solos. That's not getting it done.
Not, Mike.
You know what it is getting it done is our sponsor for today.
Hey now.
Which is brought to you by Brennan's View Condos, presented by Irish Realty. Only a few luxury units remain. Tailgate on the rooftop deck, just steps from Eddy Street Commons and the Notre Dame campus. Take advantage of a $2,500 buyer's upgrade package through the end of November. Check out brennansview.com, folks. That's going to be where Goolsby and I will be living in no time. Maybe. You'd be our neighbor. Who knows?
I was going to say, yeah, we should split one.
Yeah, there you go.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right.
So that was that loss all together, Mike. There's so much to talk about with the defense here. It's hard to fit it into one paragraph.
Right.
Or one rant, rather. But it was a bit of a mess. I feel like Lincoln Riley coached circles around Al Golden in this game. I didn't understand starting Jade Mickey at corner. Why not open up with Clarence Lewis and try Mickey at nickel? Instead, we've got a safety and Ramon Henderson playing nickel. It's just stuff that we do. It's just like, I'm going to trust the coaches, but I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Like Ramon Henderson was a receiver turned safety turned corner against the best player in college football and Caleb Williams. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, man.
All right, folks, if you're just if you're watching back, you're joining us live, hit the thumbs up on this video. That really helps support us.
And by the way, yeah, dude, we're almost to 20,000 subscribers.
Almost to 20,000 subscribers. Let me check what
we're at. It's all I want for Christmas, Singer. It's all I want for Christmas is 20K.
You tell me, man. We are currently at 19,759 as we record this live. And our last live show, dude, last week's hit over 1,400 likes. So we know that you guys know how to like the video. So continue to do that. Goolsby, you tell them. If you tell them to like the video, they do it.
What we learned is our fans have opposable thumbs. Use them.
Use them. That's right. So, yeah, we're going to continue to talk Notre Dame, USC, what's next for the Fighting Irish. We're also going to talk about Notre Dame's new quarterback commit in the 2023.
Oh, boy.
Kenny Minchie. Goolsby has not given his thoughts publicly.
Shades of Caleb Williams, Michael. Shades of Caleb Williams with Kenny Minchie.
I think that sounds good to Notre Dame fans, I would say. And, yeah, folks, I saved a few Super Chats. So we will get to those in a little bit. But, Mike, let's touch on the offense a little bit more. A comment or the topic point that Tim and I had was this toss pitch to Logan Diggs to the short side of the field. And third and short. And he picks it up, right? But it was just so strange. And then did you listen to this segment in our show last night?
Of course, man.
And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm an eight, and I honestly mean no disrespect.
Pretty harsh, Mike. It was pretty harsh, but yeah.
I mean no disrespect, but if I'm an eight-year-old playing Madden against my brother, I'm like, all right, I'm going to run it up the middle and then run the same play, but as a play action. That'll get him. Like, it's a, like, and it, the toss and then the fake toss on the next play, like, let's show the same exact thing. That was strange to me personally, but I know that you wanted to talk about that toss pitch. The play itself wasn't very consequential, but it's more of just like there's kind of a overarching theme maybe to discuss here with that.
I thought that Reese called a really good game. I think that he dialed up pass plays for Drew that he was comfortable. Obviously, I mean, Drew's completion percentage was through the roof throughout the game. Yeah, the toss pitch into the boundary is just against a team defense like an SC that has a lot of team speed, slightly undersized at like the linebacker position. Like, it doesn't make sense to me, but whatever, it worked.
Sort of.
Sometimes, and you see this a lot, Mike, actually at the high school level. Let's say the offense has a huge, you know, gainer through the air, right? They complete a 50-yard pass. Like, the coaches are like scrambling, and the very next play they'll just call like a fullback dive up the middle. Because they're like, oh, shit, we got to call another play. When you looked at that toss pitch into the boundary, they took time to bring the chains out, review it, whatever. Like, Tommy had quite a bit of time to come up with his next call on the play sheet, and then that's what he cooked up. I don't know. That play is a huge pimple, like, on his resume, or her, you maybe warts a better term of, it's like, for this overall game. But I thought that was a dumb play. I thought like the jet sweep on the third and two on the first series of the game. The first series of the game on offense really effed us, dude. It really effed us. Like, they came down, they made it look easy, they scored, then we go three and out the next series. It's like, oof. Overall thoughts on the offense. The big one for me, and this is just personal preference, but I prefer Estime as a lead back to Diggs.
Yeah.
I don't see, and this is, I don't know how many games in a row, several, where we've seen maybe two or three where Diggs has started to sort of become the lead back. And you look at the yards per carry average, and then we'd like to talk about the eyeball test, Mike. Estime looks like a more impactful, he looks a degree or two more special to this guy.
Yeah.
Than does Diggs. And that's not a knock on Diggs. That's my personal preference. I think Estime showed really well in this game, and then we kind of put him back on the shelf. I still think we misused Tyree. That's the big talking point, the Mitchapalooza thing. Everybody wants to poo-poo on the Mitchapalooza thing, but it's been incredibly successful thus far this season, so why not stick with it? It was just disappointing that we didn't see any additional wrinkles off of it like we had talked about last week, Mike. But let's talk about Drew Pine, dude. Guy played valiantly, and he made some beautiful throws. Was given a lot of time again, but yeah, I just want to give Drew, and I've been difficult on him, but I thought Drew played lights out, and you could really sense how important this game was to him. And the two turnovers hurt us. But that's the beauty of football. If those two turnovers hurt us, you know, Xavier Watts dropping two obvious interceptions, or, you know, that hurt us just as much. That's how I tend to look at the game. And then the other interesting thing that we haven't talked about, and we'll probably jump into those super chats here, buddy, soon.
Yep.
But was the everybody's calling it a pooch kick. In my world, when the quarterback kicks, we call it a quick kick. We did it and used to do it in high school out of the double wing. That was a huge middle finger to Brian Mason, to me. You know, it was a little like we did it. They did it to us twice, and we weren't even in a base defense return setup. We weren't even in a position to fair catch it. I take that back. Brandon Joseph fair caught, I think, the second one. But that was like a big middle finger to Notre Dame. And I tip my cap to USC.
Smart, yeah.
Dude, I tip my cap to them. They got us on that one. And, yeah, I think just another example where Lincoln Riley outcoached us from an offensive standpoint. I think Coach Reese did what he could. I think our offense versus their defense was a pretty good match, right? We'll call it a draw. I think that Lincoln Riley – took advantage of us offensively, and I think that their special teams outperformed ours. There's your game. I thought it was a super competitive game. I thought the kids did play hard. I just think it really comes down to our defensive scheme being obviously misaligned, and that's got to get addressed. And I do think there's going to be some personnel changes. Namely, I don't think Maris belongs in the field anymore.
Yeah.
Not as an inside linebacker. No way.
Yeah. Folks, we'll get into super chats and I'll drop them. I've got a few queued up and we'll get to those in a minute. But just one more thing on Pine before we move on. You look at the Clemson game. Notre Dame probably wins that game if it's Mike Singer at quarterback, right? Like Pine didn't do a ton in that game, you know? This one, it was he was a trailer, right? Everybody pulled him along, right? He wasn't asked to do anything. This game, he showed up, but Notre Dame didn't win the special teams battle, right? Notre Dame's defense did not produce those big sacks when they needed to. The holding, Mike, I don't know if you want to touch on that. Notre Dame got screwed there, but I mean, that's just football. That's how it goes. Like, control what you can control. Notre Dame can't control the refs. They can control, you know, better play calling defensively, more spies. Yeah. I think Pine, he did all he could. The fumble hurts, but yeah, like you said, so does Xavier Watts, not picking a ball.
So does Isaiah Foskey making one of the best defensive efforts we've seen of the year as a potential first round pick guy that could be faking an injury like Cam Hart may be doing right now. He goes out there, makes that effort, pops the ball out. Maris watches it fall on the ground, and then he wants to jump on it. Stuff like that. In a game like this, you can't let it happen. But offensively, like this kind of felt like, and especially from the quarterback position, Bud, it felt like the most like normal sort of competent offense that we brought this season. Like I was like, oh, this could be NC State. This could be any team. You know, like you turn on all these games. Like,
yeah, after the beginning.
After the beginning.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. I really truly feel like the turning point of the game was that their first drive, they went down and scored so easily and so quickly that the coaching staff across the board felt like they were a little bit, they were scrambling. Yeah. It's like they short circuited for a little bit. But no, it was a good offensive performance, and I'm happy for Drew.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what's next.
One punt on the day. They were able to move the ball, hang with that high-powered offense at USC. Yeah, but I think that's that kind of wraps that part up. Joey says, Mike, what are your thoughts on the future of the defense? You said you don't think Marist should/will start in the bowl game as an inside backer. So I don't know if you want to touch on this as the future heading into the bowl game, see who Notre Dame plays, but or if you want to go the route of next season.
Well, Michael, I'm going to allude to something here, Singer.
Mm-hmm.
So you've talked about this before.
That makes me nervous.
Well, it's like, well, you know, you have to recruit. We'll use let's use Jalen Snead as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
See me winking? So you recruit these kids into your program, but then you have to like date them as they're in your program, right? Because they could leave you and then go be with somebody else, right? They can, i.e. they can transfer. So it's like Jalen Snead, Prince Kali, they ain't stupid, dude. Like they're watching the same film we are. So like, why is that MF for playing over me? You know, and that's gonna lead to some frustration. So unless we come up for an like a reasonable explanation as to why Marist is playing over either of these kids, I almost look at Snead and Kali as a package deal. Here's a fun scenario, Mike.
All right.
Would you rather go 8-4 and take some lumps under Freeman, knowing that you're, you know, the potential of you winning a championship the next 2-3 years is increased?
Yep.
Would you rather have Marist continue to start and maybe play himself into being a third round pick and lose Kali and or Snead? Or would you rather have Snead go play and take some lumps, but maybe lose Marist? You understand?
I'll play the
That's
young
where
guys.
We're at.
Yeah.
Play the young guys. I mean, Marist ain't getting it done. So the future of the defense, hopefully there's a lot of self-scouting in the offseason to see what we kind of do well. But I just, folks, I do not, and I didn't sleep last night, Mike, right? Like I watched this game quite a few times back because I'm just like, what am I missing? You know, in this scheme, like what am I missing? And it don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I have a couple crappy analogies I won't use, but I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make sense, the usage of the linebackers to never make tackles and to never make sacks and to rarely make a freaking TFL. Why do we keep bringing them? It just doesn't make sense to me. So hopefully the future of the defense is more just base oriented. Let's play with three linebackers. Let's play with a rover like we used to utilize a little bit of, you know, kind of combo size and speed there. And let's work out of that is my hope.
Miss Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah a little bit, like that rover who can cover and like
and blitz.
He could do everything. That's why he could. It's a part of the reason why he could play so much base.
I don't know if people are. I don't get to watch as much NFL anymore since I started doing this gig. But last I checked, JOK is nasty in the NFL, dude. He is a really, really, really good player.
Yeah.
So yeah, you do miss a kid like that.
Okay, we had a super chat from Sean here. Actually, we'll get to Michael. He dropped his first. So appreciate this. He says, last night you saw a Notre Dame team that did not quit. Michael Mayer showed why he's an All-American. Offensive line played their tails off. We missed two cornerbacks and Estime only 8 carries. I thought it was 6. I almost – yeah, 6 carries for 43 yards. And then he had that – finally, Drew Pine hit a dump off, Mike. Little check down. How about that?
And oh, that to went, Estime?
Yeah, that one went for 30 yards. That was a thing of beauty. And, yeah, Freeman kept this team together. Any thoughts on this, Mike?
Well, real quick on that dump down to Estime, Tim and I were texting almost immediately. A special player, folks, scores there. Go back and rewatch it. He's got a block route in front of him. He could set that corner up. He's a two-way go on that corner. A special player is going to score there. And it's like, that's what we need to see. As long as I've known you, Mike, I've been talking about we need special players to like Deion Colsey today made a special play. Go up and get the ball. More of that, but that estimate dump down, as great of a play as it was, there was still something left out on the field there. But yeah, it's been a good season. The offensive line, Joe Alt struggled a little bit early, but he corrected it. He got beat on an inside rush by that first round pick, you know, 49. I put this game, I did. Yeah, I do fully agree that the team play hard. This is a fun game to go back and rewatch. For nothing else, to listen to Chris Fowler.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Go ahead.
It was one of the first Caleb Williams scrambles. Like, you know, he's like, oh, and he converts the first down. And it's like, Chris, are you drunk? Because I am. I'm drunk watching, and I know that he didn't convert. He's 8 yards short, brother. You know? Yeah, but go back and watch, because there is some comedy in the commentary there, if you're into that kind of thing. It's like watching Mystery Science Theater or something like that. But they did play hard, but like there's a play, I think, at the beginning of the fourth quarter. We're in cover two, and J.D. Bertrand is in the end zone. That kid is 45, 50 yards downfield, running the middle vertical, running the middle seam, the middle, the pipe, whatever you want to call it, in cover two, as he should. He is 50 yards downfield in coverage. And I don't know, just plays like that, it was indicative of the effort. I feel like that Coach Golden kind of hung those kids out to dry. I feel like there's more we could have done. I didn't see us spying Caleb Williams, Mike.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, I grew up a huge Barry Sanders fan, And they would talk about, like, when you would prep to play the Lions as a defensive team, like, sort of you kind of corral them. Like, you don't really try to make the tackle. You just kind of corral them. And too often our defensive linemen, they didn't lead him. If you and I are playing catch in the backyard, Mike, I'm going to lead you, right? We were going to where he is, not to where he's heading too often. And it felt like they were underprepared to play a quarterback like that. Underprepared, and I just don't think that the game plan was even close to competence. Kudos to the kids and kudos to Coach Freeman for getting them to play hard, no doubt.
Yeah, folks, hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, of course, for more Notre Dame football and recruiting content. We're getting into that time of the year where we're not going to have a weekly show, Mike. Maybe go every other week or so.
I'd be down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, as this thing has grown, Mike, and hey, let's be YouTube pros here, Mike.
Dude.
Folks, if you got any ideas, concepts.
Oh, I got them.
Drop them in the comments below. But I think it could be fun for us to sort of do some dry runs on some things in the offseason.
Our going into next season, we're going to take a step forward. We're going to take a big step forward. I truly believe in our overall channel. We're going to look back on 2022 and 2021 and be like, man, remember we did that stupid shit? Now it's going to be the next level. I'm excited, dude. Hey, second biggest Notre Dame YouTube channel out there. You know who's number one? The official Notre Dame channel. I think we're just going to get more resources pumped in our page. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Check the stats, right?
That's right. JP, appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it.
Thanks, JP. Thanks for watching all year. Spread the word, man.
Yeah. Where was I going with this? I had a thought.
Who knows, dude?
Oh, the Fowler thing. He's not watching the screen, so he just sees Williams throw it past the sticks. He didn't realize that it was the first stick, not the second stick. So that's why he screwed up. But the whole, he's a big USC fan, whatever. I mean, man, if that were Brady Quinn calling the game, you guys wouldn't be mad about, you know, that. It's so whatever. I don't care about announcers. It's so many other things to complain about. The announcers is whatever.
Well, announcers should be like, I think I said this watching the game, the announcers are akin to like offensive line play. Like, we shouldn't talk about them. You don't talk about them unless they're really bad. But when that jumped out, I almost spit my beer out. I was just like, dude.
Yeah.
Chris, are you drunk, bro? Like, I know I am legally anyways. And like, it's pretty obvious that wasn't a first down.
Yeah. I agree that that's how it should be, but that's not how it is.
For sure.
You know, like if I think we can all agree that NBC should have a Notre Dame guy in there, right? Not a Purdue guy, not a Boston College guy, right? Notre Dame guy for call NBC games. But when Notre Dame plays Virginia Tech or whatever school, those fans are going to be pissed watching this pro Notre Dame broadcast because I was thinking to watch the game. So I don't know. We're wasting time talking about it. Susan says the mics are addictive. I will miss the weekly show. Yeah.
Blush, Susan. You're making me blush over here.
Susan, you're the best. Appreciate you. Super chat from Michael dropped to 199. I can help you out as a guest host. 58 years as a Notre Dame fan and lifetime perspective, plus the dad of a sophomore domer. We've certainly tossed around the idea of a call-in show. Now that would be badass for sure. There's just different things. I love YouTube. I watch my side hobbies, interest. I like to see what other YouTubers do in different fields. And so, you know, I always am coming up with new ideas. So I think next year is going to be big time. And I think it'd be really cool to do a call-in show, just kind of the logistics of making sure some USC guy's not calling. Yeah. Like how that all works. Some things to figure out, but I think, yeah, sky's the limit for what we do here. Paul dropped to 371. Paul, do you
have you're fine.
Go ahead, Mike.
Nothing. You're fine. Go ahead.
No, I don't got anything. Actually, I think we did have Tyler dropped a super chat, says Mike Goolsby, love the show. When I watch Notre Dame, sometimes I feel like the players seem to overthink instead of reacting. Is that coaching being too academic?
I get where you're coming from, Tyler, and I truly do it. I don't believe that's the case. I think maybe in years past, Tyler, and I've touched on this during my show, where kids were, and this is more of a Kelly thing, Kelly's approach to coaching, leading, those kids were like afraid to make a mistake. So then they were never really able to play beyond themselves and like really, again, step out of themselves and go be special because they're too worried of getting screwed up. I do think that there's some validity to that. I've heard folks talk about the scheme, and we're talking defensively, Tyler, like the scheme is too complex and kid makes guys play slow. That ain't it, man. Especially from a linebacker perspective, it's like, even if it was complex, we're X number of games into the season. I think if you see kids playing slow on defense, they're not being taught the correct keys. And that comes down to coaching. So, like, I know Freeman, the linebacker play has been horrible. And it's this comes down to the self-scouting. What is the future of the defense? Yada, yada, yada. I don't believe Maris is going to be your starter for much longer. And, yeah, you've got to look critically at the linebacker play and be like, what are we doing here? Like, but unless that's what those kids are being asked to do, just take on, catch blockers, be bugs on a windshield, and not make tackles. And if that's what they're being taught, somebody needs to ask during a press conference, why are we teaching this?
Horka, if you're watching this, buddy, this is on you.
Get on it, Tyler.
Or any of my competitors watching, please. Go ahead. Sean says, with all three senior linebackers returning, so we're talking, I don't know, I'm looking at our, what am I missing here? Bauer is running out of eligibility, right? Yeah, everyone.
No, Bauer's gone. Yeah, JD wants to come back. Maris wants to come back.
Kaiser, all have, because with the COVID year, they all have 3 years of eligibility remaining, it looks like, which is that right? Does that sound right? No, two years after this.
Sure.
It's crazy. So, yeah, with all three linebackers returning, will guys like Prince and Snead get a real shot next year? Need those athletes on the field. Love the show. Thanks. Sean, appreciate it. God, I hope so. I hope they get a real shot next year, Mike, because I think we've kind of seen this experiment.
Well, what was it? It was Boston College, right? Snead went in there at the end, had 5 tackles and 9 snaps. Is that right?
Something like that, yeah.
So this is let's put yourself in Al Gold and Laurinaitis's, Coach Freeman's shoes, you know, defensive-minded coaches. So we sit there and tell our young players, you know, do all the right things, blah, 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 blah. Hey, fellas, when you get your chance to play, when your number gets called, you got to make the most of that opportunity. Jalen Snead does exactly that. Junior Tuia Alamaka has done exactly that. And you still go back to the bench. Now you've got yourself into a sticky situation as a coach, and that's where they're at. And I told you before, I mean, Snead oozes, like, he's hungry to play. And I think, I can't help but look at Snead and Kali as kind of a combo together that just peanut butter and jelly. We'll come up with a nickname for him over time, put it on a T-shirt. But, yeah, they got a problem on their hands. Somebody needs to explain to me why Marist is playing and what is the ask of him. And the other thing about Marist is, like, we've all been sold this bill of goods that, like, dude, you should see him run. You should see him hit. I see him hit. I give him all the credit in the world. He's a violent player. But he picked up a fumble. I think it was against Boston College, kind of like the whistle blew. He picked up a fumble and ran. He didn't look that fast to me. So, and he looks a little bit stiff the more I watch him play. So I just think that those coaches are going to give Kali in particular, because he's a year ahead of Steed in terms of the development, the playbook or whatever, but you've got to give those kids a chance to play, because you put all that time and energy into recruiting them, and you didn't put that same time and energy into recruiting Maris, did you, Mike? And what if you put all that time and energy into recruiting Steed and Kali and they dip and you're going to be kicking yourself?
Yeah.
Those coaches, I'm telling you, in their DNA, in their heart, they're happier to see Maris transfer or Kaiser transfer than they would want to see kids that they have their fingerprints on as recruits and junior and Snead and Kyle. They need to play.
Yeah, Snead obviously is that, right? Freeman has known about Snead for years. Freeman's close buddies with Snead's high school head coach. That's pretty well documented. Kali was a Clark Lee guy. But still, I mean, the Freeman staff didn't recruit him, but yeah, your point still stands. Dane makes a good point.
Freeman was involved in recruiting Kali, though. He might have committed under Lee. No, he was never involved. Mm-mm. Okay, fair enough.
No, I think Kali had already signed by the time.
Okay, fair enough.
Dane says you guys never actually put things on t-shirts. That's true. That's true. But yeah, I mean, Kali signs, Freeman's hired 2 weeks later. So as long as Kali's been at Notre Dame, Freeman has, but yeah, didn't recruit him. But I think your point still stands.
Thank you.
JP says Jeff Leonard is available. Your thoughts?
Jim Leonard is what he means.
Jim Leonard. That's correct. Yeah.
Jim Leonard and I were at the combine together, and that dude was a hell of a player, hell of a coach. I don't know what he's like as a recruiter. I think that from what I was reading, this is just on the Twitterverse, like his camp was kind of floored that he didn't get the job at Wisconsin. And mind you, you know, Mike, he played at Wisconsin. If you didn't know, you don't know who Keith Jackson is. I don't know if you know much about Jim Leonard, but I like it. But I mean, what are we going to hire him as a defensive coordinator and get rid of Golden after a year? This is the interesting thing about hiring your friends, right? So Freeman hires Laurinaitis, who's his friend. It may or may not be working out. To these eyes, it's not working out. Are you going to let your friend go and find a replacement? I don't think Jim Leonard's going to land here. If he has his mind set on a head coaching gig, maybe he's a guy that they flip-flop stabs with Cincinnati or something like that. But I think Coach Leonard's looking for a head gig, if you ask me.
Whoa, Nelly, Mr. Goolsby. Whoa, Nelly.
Well done.
Never going to live that one down anyway.
Well, you did it to yourself.
All right, a couple more super chats, and then we're going to talk Kenny Minchie because I forgot about that one. Brian says, drop super chat, $10. Appreciate that, Brian. Says, love hearing both of your perspectives. Keep it up. You even like hearing my perspective? Really? Well, Brian, I appreciate that. He says, I was at every home game this season. Good shot for you, dude. That's awesome. My 61-year-old ass was on the field after the Clemson win. That's awesome, Brian. I appreciate you sharing that with us, man. Okay. Yeah, let's talk. Notre Dame's quarterback commit. As we record this, I mean, just an hour before we went live, Notre Dame landed an offensive line commit. Chris Tarek flipped him from Wisconsin. So, the Badgers hiring Luke Fickell, that worked out for the Irish there because Tarek is committed to Wisconsin. I think he would have stick if they kept Leonard in their offensive line coach, but a new staff comes in. You know, felt more comfortable with Notre Dame at that point. So Tarek flips from Wisconsin to Notre Dame. You can find all the coverage on that at blueandgold.com. But Mike, wanted to get your kind of take on Kenny Minchie. That's another flip. How about that? Flip from Pittsburgh to Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish have had 5 players in total flip from another school to the Fighting Irish. You had Minchie, Tarek, couple defensive linemen flipping from Boston College and Stanford, respectively. And then there's another
one.
Dylan Edwards from Kansas State. Thank you, Ghouls. Kenny Minchie, 4-star quarterback, Elite 11, All-American Bowl, a bona fide stud. Maybe not the big time offer list, but I think I think he's a stud. So we'll pop on his tape and Goolsby, tell me what you think of him.
He's what you need. And this is what we were sort of hoping for out of a Buckner. And Mike, I've been saying it since we've been doing these shows in big time games, just watching a lot of college football. You need a quarterback that has a little bit of backyard just pizzazz to him. You know, it's like these coaches make millions of dollars to call plays, and then these kids just go out there and like draw it up in the dirt, it seems at times. You know, it's like you watch Caleb Williams play, him running around on that's not on the play sheet, but right. It works, and that guy will end up getting promoted at some point. But that's what Minshew is. He's kind of got that backyard fun, creativeness at the quarterback position. And he's got these arm, like this arm. As somebody that works kind of in that football training world, right? Like I do that on the side, a little bit of private football instruction here and there for fun. So like you've always had these quarterback coaches, and for years and years and years they were teaching these kids to be statuesque, right? And like drive off of your, plant off your front foot. Like that's what you used to always see the quarterbacks wearing, like the right-handed quarterback wear a knee brace on the left knee because that's like their lead leg or whatever. All that stuff's gone nowadays, man.
Now they're trained to throw.
Dude, it's guys making jump passes, throwing across their body. Yeah, back foot, side arm. And unless you have a God-given arm like Minshew has, you can't do that stuff. Like Drew Pine has to throw off of a base. He has to be planted. He has to be wide. He has to have time. He has to have space to deliver a beautiful ball. And he did so against USC several times over. But modern-day football, those pockets are so condensed. And it's like all these kids are like Pat Mahomes clones. They all look the same. They all have the same haircut. And they all have the same type of whip. They've got a whip for an arm. They just whip that ball. And that's what Minshew has. And it's honest to God, whether he pans out or not, obviously we're rooting for him, but like this, what you're seeing is the type of quarterback that you literally need to win in college football. Look at Bryce Young. Look at the kid from CJ Stroud. Look at Caleb Williams. This is what top five quarterback play looks like in big time football. It just is.
Pretty excited about the direction of at quarterback under Notre Dame, between.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Yeah. And I've got a love affair going with Tyler just because I'm rooting for the kid. I really am. But, this Minshew's making my eyes wander, Mike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right. And I got my boy, Steve Angeli. Still love him. I love it. I love Steve.
Well, yeah, but Angeli's more of, again, he's more of a probably a bigger, stronger Drew Pine, more of a traditional kind of classic quarterback. And there's room for those guys, but in terms of like somebody that's special, this is more special than anything you see from Angeli.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we got him.
Yeah. Maybe in terms of an athlete, but. But if Angeli can make those throws and make those good decisions, I like to bring back, I'm a Dolphins fan, right? And Tua is small and doesn't have a strong arm, but the dude is, if he didn't miss those three games in the middle season, I think the guy could win the MVP. So if you can make those quick decisions and be super accurate, like just thinking about that, that's kind of where my mind's at with Steve. Like I still think that he could be a darn good quarterback. This offense. But between Buckner coming back, right, healthy, Angeli, Minshew coming in January,
Mike, you're
excited about what?
Your ability to evaluate quarterbacks is sus. And everybody can shit on me for saying that preseason, like Ian Book might have played himself into being a first rounder. And I took a lot of heat for that. And I just said if he continued to improve, I thought that he had the traits, i.e. the ability, quick release, et cetera, to maybe play himself into that. Nobody would have forecasted Ian Book to be a fourth or fifth round pick and get picked up by Sean Payton of all coaches going to play for the Saints. Since been released, but now he's with the Eagles. But your ability to evaluate, we got to sit down in the offseason and we got to talk about this. It's like sometimes, your Twitter bio says Christian, and you are very Christian when it comes to your evaluating of quarterbacks.
You call me the eternal optimist, Mike. I kind of like everybody.
No, I know you do. But I mean, you know, I think
are you, Buckner's you like not to, my yeah. favorite, and he is your favorite. So that's my downfall.
Oh, it's not a downfall, Mike, but it's just like I don't know what criteria you're looking for. As a GM of the Dolphins, as a GM of a Dolphin, I don't know what you're looking for in a quarterback. A nice personality and a good family.
Oh, I love it. Give me a good GPA too. Hardworking guy.
Yeah.
First one in, last one out.
Tucks his shirt in.
Says yes, sir, no, ma'am.
Yeah. We got to trade up. The kid plays the piano. We got to trade up, you know? I don't know. But no, I'm really happy that we got Minchie. It's such a necessity. A, just for the depth, and B, for like just the ability. But what we saw from Caleb Williams, just the running around, that's what I'm hoping. And Tyler Buckner, if you're listening, it's like calm down. I think that Tyler Buckner could be unreal if he could just learn to just turn down that play anxiety and turn up the confidence. Like you see a kid like Caleb Williams, he's doing all that because his confidence is beyond. You know, and it's like Tyler Buckner has similar traits in terms of athletic ability, quick release, whatever. He's a crazy good athlete.
Yeah.
But until your confidence catches up with that ability, you're not going to get a chance to really display it for us. So that would be my big ask of Tyler, is just work on that, just calmness in the offseason.
Yeah. But my thought
on he's still my guy.
This quarterback position is just bringing flood the room with a ton of guys and have kind of a survival of the fittest. Bring in a transfer. You got Buckner. You got Paulus, Pine, Minchie and Jelly. See what happens. What's the best
man? No, and you make a good point too. So going back to like the conversation about transferring, you know, if you can bring in like, you know, Ron Paulus should probably go. We could use that scholarship. If we're going to be a big time program, Ron Paulus Jr. could probably go. It's dead weight. There's no expectations of him to ever get on the field. So unless you're going to turn yourself into a long snapper, brother, or something, get out of here. Sorry, but this is big-time college football. But, like, if you can get an Angeli type, a Drew Pine type every 2 years, a kid that's, grew up loving Notre Dame, he's a Notre Dame, you know, natural Notre Dame fit, Mike, those kids aren't going to go anywhere. So you can have your competition for your one, two, maybe one. And this is – we're talking high-end. High-end college football. This stuff happens all the time. You bring in 2 5-stars, they compete it out, one leaves, transfers, you still have that Angeli, that natural fit, yeah, as a consummate backup. It's a nice little model.
The thing I'll add on to that is that Notre Dame needs to and this is even going past the quarterbacks, is Notre Dame needs to get those Notre Dame natural fits that are also the 5-star caliber. Right, those types of guys like your Michael Mayer, it's a natural Notre Dame fit. I've said this so many times that Kenny Minchie goes to high school with the word Pope in it. That, you know, like he's also a natural Notre Dame fit. I've been able to talk to Kenny, like he speaks like a Notre Dame kid. CJ Carr, that's an elite talent as well. He's also a Notre Dame kid, you know. So, like, and Carr have that as well, but they're also have higher ceilings as quarterbacks. Does that make sense? So like it's
totally kind
of adding on to that point. Like it's exciting. I'm excited.
No, it is. It is. And again, you know, I tend to assume, Mike, on this, on our show that, and it's some, the numbers sort of reflect that it might be the same 10,000, 12,000 people watching every episode. But if somebody's watching for the first time and we've talked about this, at length in recent episodes about the quarterback recruiting under the previous staff, and that there was a little bit of like, yeah, Notre Dame didn't recruit Caleb Williams, didn't offer Caleb Williams. Like, I believe that Coach Kelly only went after quarterbacks that had that didn't have an ego, that weren't groomed. Caleb Williams, you heard it during the broadcast, has been groomed to be the man. He just has. And he carries himself as such, and he's earned the right to carry himself that way. Brian Kelly did not have the personality to deal with somebody like that. Marcus Freeman does. So Marcus Freeman has enough hair in his chest to walk in any of these high schools. And I want to talk to Caleb Williams. I want to talk to this kid. I want to talk to that kid. And in years past, we didn't fish in that pond because we had coaches that were lazy and sensitive at the same time. And that's going to change. So all the more reason for optimism in that quarterback room.
All right. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Mr. Martinez, let's do it. The 199 dude. But yeah, we are going to, we're going to end it there. So we'll probably be off this upcoming Sunday, but we'll be back with another Goolsby show the following Sunday. What would that be, like the 10th or something, right around there? I'm sure we'll do like a post-signing day kind of thing, like the Sunday after National Signing Day. Which
I love doing those. I love doing those.
That's right around Christmas. So we'll do one, or we'll do a National Signing Day, you know, show. Maybe we get Goolsby on like that Thursday or Friday even. But again, Christmas. I'll figure that out. But Mr. Goolsby, it's been a fantastic season. And not to mention we got a bowl game as well. So Goolsby and I will be we'll do a show after that one as well. So we're not going anywhere, but yeah, we won't be as frequent. But tons of still good stuff at our Blue and Gold YouTube channel. Continue to tune in, hit the thumbs up, subscribe, all that good stuff. You know, we like to bring in a lot of different voices and whatnot in our shows to just give you more perspective on Notre Dame football and recruiting. But, folks, I'm Mike Singer. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Goolsby. It's been the Mike Goolsby Show. We'll catch you guys next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to – has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.